Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job, we'll be looking at the habits that will keep you spiritually healthy until Christ's return.
As you begin to have joy, learn to express that joy in song, in words, in thanksgiving, in a smile on your face, because rejoicing means I find a way to express my joy.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute, both in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, Mark, people do all sorts of things to keep themselves physically and mentally healthy. We go to the gym, we go for a walk, we watch what we eat, we even play brain games. But you're here today to tell us that there are things to do to keep us spiritually healthy as well.
Yeah, normally we think about this at the beginning of the year, and this is more towards the end of the year. And typically, it's been said that it takes 21 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard that disputed here and there. But nonetheless, habits are the framework of our life, and they determine much of what our future will look like. In fact, I believe it is not what we do occasionally, but what we habitually do that has a compounded impact on our life.
Yeah, let's think about that spiritually, especially in light of Christ's return.
Absolutely. So the Apostle Paul really dives in straight into this, telling us, hey, as we get ready for the return of Christ, there are some habits that you need to put into your daily rhythm that will sustain you as we await the coming of Jesus.
Our text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Join us there now if you can as Mark begins.
Experts tell us that it takes 21 days to develop a habit. 21. If you can do something consistently 21 days in a row, chances are by the end of that 21 days, you will have developed a habit that you can continue to keep going in your life. Here's the thing about habits. It's not what you do occasionally that makes a difference. It's what you do habitually that has a compounded impact on your life. What affects your life the most right now is not what you've done occasionally. But if you look over this last month and ask yourself, what do I do habitually? It's those practices that are actually changing your life more than anything else. You say, well, Pastor, I went to the gym one day last month and I worked out for 5 hours straight. Man, I was so sore after that. I think I'm on my way to health. Oh, no, 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 no. It's not that you went one day in a month. It's what you're doing, and then you pigged out on Doritos and Cheetos and Weber's cake. It's what you do on a habitual basis. The habits that you develop that actually begin to form who you are. I heard that Aristotle said good habits formed at youth make all the difference. Someone else has said the habits that we develop in the first half of our life, when we get older, the second half of our life, are basically putting into practice the habits that we started in the first half of our life. So I'm going to challenge you to ask yourself, what are the habits that most affect your life? What are the habits that you are in? Because your future will look like the habits that you're practicing today. So make sure that your habits are the right habits. 1 Thessalonians, verse 16 through 22, are about habits. Not just any habits. These are about the habits to prepare us for the coming of Christ. If you choose to put into practice the habits that we're going to talk about this morning, your life in a year from now will be radically different because of the habits that you've chosen to put in practice today. Okay? Guaranteed. A year from now, if you practice these, talk to me about it. I can guarantee you start tomorrow with these habits, it will radically begin to change your life. I'm going to ask that we stand for the reading of God's Word. I will be reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 22. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil, the Word of God. You may be seated. Four habits that if you start to put in practice, they alter your attitude, but in the long run, your attitude is what alters pretty much everything in life. The way that you see life, your attitude towards things affects your relationships, it affects your future, it affects the way you think, it affects your marriage, it affects your parenting, it affects your spiritual life. Everything in life is affected by your attitude. And so these four habits really have to do with our attitude. Habit number one, it's very simple. It's almost in staccato form. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Let's start with the first habit. The first habit is this: rejoice always. Make an attitude of rejoicing your default mode. What does it mean to rejoice? Well, to rejoice means to put in practice the attitude of joy. The act of expressing joy and gladness. There's one thing to have joy, it's another thing to express joy. So to rejoice means that I have joy within me and I find a way to express it. I don't know what you do when you're full of joy. Hey, you just found out you got a raise. What do? You just found out that you got 3 extra days of vacation. Do you whistle? Do you start singing? Do you do a little jig in your house? I'm not sure, but you express joy somehow. And so what the Apostle Paul is telling us is that if you are people of God, which we are, one of the fruits of being full of the Spirit of God, in Galatians it tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. The second fruit of the Spirit is joy. So if you are full of God, you will be full of joy. And if you're full of joy, you need to start to learn to rejoice. In other words, you need to start to give a voice to the joy that's in you. Learn to express the joy that is in you. If I run into someone that has been a believer for a while, but they seem sad all the time. They seem unhappy all the time. It's kind of like, yeah, I love Jesus. I know something's not right there. Something's gone amiss. Because one of the characteristics of being full of God is, it doesn't mean that you go around with a silly smile on your face all the time, but it means that you have a spirit of joy. There's something, there's an energy about you. There's an expectation of a better future based on hope. There's a sense of, I'm glad to be alive because God is on the throne. I have a destiny. My sins are forgiven. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know who wins in the end. I may go through difficult times now, but guess what? I am full of the joy of God, and I show my joy on my face. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, he's not saying learn to be happy. He's saying rejoice. Rejoice is an action verb. It means give voice to your joy. Give an expression to your joy. So listen to what it says in Psalms 118 verse 24. It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Whose day is it? It's God's day. He made it. This today is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, this is your day. I'm going to be glad because it's your day. Look what it tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case you misunderstood him, he says, hey, I'm going to tell you again. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, it is impossible for me to constantly have a spirit of joy because Sometimes we go through hard times, your car breaks down, you got a flat tire, whatever happens, it's hard to always rejoice. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying, he doesn't say rejoice in your circumstances always, because sometimes our circumstances are bad. He says rejoice in the Lord always, because if your joy is based on your circumstances, you're not always going to have joy. But if your joy is based on who God is, listen, God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your circumstances may change, and they may be bad sometimes, but God is still good. So therefore, you can rejoice in the Lord regardless of what your circumstances look like. Because sometimes even your bad circumstances, for those that love God, He turns it for the good. I just had a conversation with a fellow yesterday, and it reminded me how God takes bad circumstances and turns it for the good. 2 weeks ago, he had talked to me. He's from one of our other campuses, and he said, "Pastor, I have a question for you." So talk to me about it. He says, "I'm looking for a job. I've been on workman's comp for a little bit, and unemployment, it's running out. I've been looking for a job." He said, "I got a job offer, but here's the thing. It's part-time. It's on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday." He said, "Tuesday, I have a leadership meeting. Thursday, I have worship practice. And Sunday, it's my time for God. And I feel like if I take this job, it'll totally take me out of all of my time with God, all of my ministry with God." He said, "What do you think I should do?" I said, "Well, you need to work. I know that. But I'm just believing and praying that there's some other job out there that's not going to take you away from the things of God on Sunday. So you need to wrestle through it. I'm not going to tell you exactly what to do, but if I were you, man, I'd be looking for an option, an alternative." And so he wrestled through it. He talked with his wife, and he declined that part-time job that was making minimal wages. And so he was on his way to try to fill out some other job application, and his car got a flat tire. He thought, "Oh man, here I am." So he had tires at a Firestone that he had insured. So he went to the Firestone that he was at, asked him how long it would take. They said it was going to take a couple hours to fix your tire. He said, "Oh man." So he said, "But I'm going to make the best of this. I'm going to make the best of it." So he went around the tire place, handing in applications to a few places around the tire place. Now that's incentive. That's saying I'm going to make the best of whatever comes my way. So he went around a couple places there. There happened to be a place that was hiring. They called him back. It wasn't on Sunday, and it was double the pay that the other job was offering him. And yeah, here's the thing. His flat tire seemed like, hey, I'm not going to rejoice in a flat tire. But I believe that it was God taking him to the Firestone to get him connected to a job that would be double the pay and not have to work on Sunday. Someone better be excited about that. How about it?
Listening to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. Let's pause the message for just a moment. Habits to keep you spiritually healthy. By the way, if you've missed any of the messages in this series, Defiance, Turn Your Life Upside Down, you can catch us online when you go to boldstepsradio.org. Now, that website is also, Mark, where our listeners go to sign up for the Bold Stepper Weekly. How much unwanted email do you get in your email box?
Way yeah. Too much.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time unsubscribing, but here's one you will not want to unsubscribe. You want to subscribe to the Bold Stepper Weekly.
Yeah, that's right. Just this past week, I was doing the unsubscribing thing. But this is a way of starting every Monday with an encouragement, with a message, with a personal note. From me, our ministry, putting you back to God, pointing you back to His Word in one way or another. And so we really want to encourage you to sign up for this. And by the way, I think we get bombarded with so much bad news. Mm-hmm. This is some good news. Yeah. And I would encourage you. In fact, Moody also offers Today in the Word, and yes, that's a weekly devotional that some of you really need to take advantage of.
Talk about establishing good spiritual habits.
Oh, that is, there's close to 200,000 people that have signed up for that. That's a daily devotional that really helps you stay in the Word as well.
Yes, lots of resources from Moody Bible Institute. But I want to encourage our listeners to sign up for the Bold Stepper Weekly right now. It comes every Monday morning automatically when you subscribe to it. And you do that at boldstepsradio.org. Thank you, Mark. Talking about good spiritual habits, let's jump back into today's message now.
The point is that even in our bad circumstances, God still has a plan. That God can bring good even out of our bad. And so he says, rejoice in the Lord. And that's what it tells us in James, by the way. In James chapter 1, it says this, verse 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy. What? When I get a raise? When I win the lottery? Consider it pure joy. What? My brothers, whenever you face trials. Trials? Yeah, trials. Like something goes bad. It's tough. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Why should I consider it pure joy? Because you know that the testing of your faith. Why is our faith being tested? Because it's hard to rejoice when it seems like we're in the middle of a test. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And why do I want perseverance, God? Because perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In essence, what he's saying is when you're faced with a trial, I want you to rejoice even in the trial. Because listen to me, look up at me, this is huge. God has a purpose even in your trial. And if you let God have his way, he will turn your trial into something good in your life, called maturity and completeness. So even in the midst of a hard time, he says, rejoice. So what's he talking about? He's talking about the habit of joy. If you're known as a unhappy person, you need to get a soul fix. Seriously. If everybody knows you, it's hard for you to smile. You're grumpy and complaining all the time. Don't blame it on Jesus. That's your own nasty attitude. Because if you're full of God, the people of God need to be joyful people. And let me tell you something about joyful people, about joy. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. In other words, when you have joy, you have energy. When you have joy, you have energy. Have you ever noticed the higher your joy, the greater your energy? Have you ever got excited about something you're going to do that makes you really happy? You've dragged yourself to work all week long. Oh, I can barely get up. Oh, it's so hard to get out of bed. And then they say, then your husband says, guess what? We figured out we're going to go to Disneyland for 5 days with the kids, Florida, warm weather. And suddenly to get ready for vacation, it's like you're energized. You're like, hey, let me pack. Let me do this. You get out of bed excited. Why? Because now you have joy. And joy produces energy. And here's the thing. Your energy boost, better than Red Bull and Monster and double shots of espresso in your coffee, better than that, what energizes your life is the joy of God. And so as you begin to have joy, learn to express that joy in song, in words, in thanksgiving, in a smile on your face, because rejoicing means I find a way to express my joy. So one of the habits that God, first of all, expects for his people is that we would be a people that would habitually rejoice in life. That we're constantly in a state of, I'm going to find a way to rejoice in whatever circumstance I am. Habit number one, rejoicing needs to be your default mode. Habit number two, he says, rejoice always, verse 17, pray without ceasing. I remember reading that verse when I was young and thinking, impossible. How can you ever pray without ceasing? I mean, you got to eat, you're eating, you're going to pray while you're eating? I mean, you got to sleep. I mean, seriously, how can you pray while you're sleeping? You got to work and read a book and there's other things that you're doing. I mean, how can someone pray without ceasing? Well, if you read exactly the word here found in the Greek, a better translation would be pray without intermission, or pray consistently. When you do something consistently, habitually, it means you're continuing to do it without taking big breaks from it. That makes sense? It's something I'm continuing to do. Someone says, "Hey, are you talking to your son lately?" You say, "Oh yeah, we talk all the time." Now, seriously, do you talk all the time? No, it means that you're constantly having a conversation with them, that you're not estranged, that you haven't stopped talking, that you're in the habit of talking on a regular basis. So praying without ceasing means, this is what it means, listen to me. Some of you have the idea that when you pray, that you have to get on your knees, close your eyes, raise your hands, get in a certain part of your house that you pray in, and that is the way that you pray. And so you say, "I'm going to have my prayer time." Get on your knees, raise your hands, close your eyes, squint real bad because you pray better when you're squinting real hard. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying like that. There's times that we have to set aside times for prayer. But obviously, you can't walk around like that. So what's it telling me about praying? What Paul is telling us is that you should be in a continual conversation with God throughout your day. That means you wake up in the morning, you say, "Good morning, Lord. And I slept well." You go downstairs and you say, I got a lot of stuff going on this day, Lord. Give me strength and energy." It means that you're having this continual conversation with God throughout the day, where you're listening to God, you are talking to God, that you don't go big periods of time ignoring God or not speaking to God, that you're in a lifestyle of prayer where you're just having this ongoing, non-interrupted, at little times during the day, you're just saying, "Oh, Lord, help me here, because this is really tough. I'm going to talk to my boss, and it's a tough one. God, give me patience and insight. All right, Lord, help me push this big guy over the way. I'm trying to get on this bus. God, give me strength and energy." I don't know. Whatever the prayer may be, you're in this continual conversation with God throughout the day. You're sitting down for lunch, and the Lord puts someone on your heart. You see him over there at the lunch table, someone that seems lonely, and you're listening to God, and God gives you compassion for that person. So you just get over, you walk over, "Hey, how you doing? Let me talk to you." You're just in this constant conversation, continual dialogue with God. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. So if you're going to be in this constant dialogue with God, this habitual dialogue with God, it means a couple things. It means the use of voice is not an essential element for prayer. You can't go around praying out loud everywhere. You can't be on the bus, you know, "Lord, I pray for the bus driver. He looks like he's a little dangerous. God, I pray for my husband." No. Do you know that you can pray in your head? You say, "Well, if I pray in my head, is it really prayer?" Hey, God, thank God he can read your mind. Some of you say amen. Some of you say, "Oh, he can? Oh, I didn't know that." But I'm going to challenge you that you would begin to put into practice the habit of practicing the presence of God wherever you are and whatever you do.
Challenging you to practice the presence of God wherever you are. That's the topic today from pastor, author, and Bible teacher Mark Jobe, and this is Bold Steps. You can find us each weekday right here in your local radio station or catch us online at boldstepsradio.org. And did you know that you can also listen to this program through your Alexa device? Just say, "Hey, Alexa, play Bold Steps from Moody Radio," and then listen whenever and wherever you'd like. Well, practicing the presence of God can be difficult when you're battling the storms of life, but in his short but insightful book, Finding Peace in Life Storms, the late Charles Spurgeon gives us some powerful tools for surviving the daily struggles we all face. This year has been no picnic for many of us, but with Spurgeon's book, you'll be getting an early gift this year, the gift of God's hope. And the book is our gift to you when you support the ministry of Bold Steps with a financial donation of any amount. Call 844-615-7363 or give online and request Charles Spurgeon's book when you go to boldstepsradio.org. You can also send your donation in the mail by addressing your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. One more time, that's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And as an added bonus, when you give a gift of $30 or more each month, you'll get a 50% discount on the entire Moody Publishers catalog, including all of our Bible studies, Christian living accessories, DVDs, children's books, and much more. So don't delay. Become a Bold partner today. Go to boldstepsradio.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when we'll learn how to create and cultivate an atmosphere of thanksgiving and joy. Our message is called Habits to Keep You Spiritually Healthy. It's coming up Thursday, and you can hear it right here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.